nearly as stubborn as the notoriously immovable Conkling. Prudence could envision both men arguing their way out of their warm, safe offices into a storm that neither would admit was stronger than either of them. By late Monday afternoon, she'd worried herself into exhaustion and fallen asleep fully clothed when she lay down on her bed to stretch out for a moment. She dreamed of Charles until another howling blast of wind hurled itself against the corner of the brownstone and woke her up. In her dream, Charles had been a figure barely discernible through fiercely waving veils of snow, a living sculpture of ice, struggling blindly up Broadway from Wall Street, calling out to her. The nightmare part of the dream had been that she couldn't answer him. New York's 58-year-old ex-senator, Roscoe Conkling, was pleading a case that Monday morning. Flamboyant, indefatigable, and commanding enormous fees, he mushed his way 2.5 miles down Broadway, from his apartment in the Hoffman House Hotel to the United Bank building at the corner of Broadway and Wall Street, where he received one of the few telephone calls completed in Manhattan that day. Telephone, telegraph, and electric poles were already toppling down into the streets, blocking access, spitting and sparking until the cold, wet snow shorted out the lines. The judge before whom Conkling was to appear was snowbound at his home. Court had been canceled. Resigning himself to being stuck in the office, Conkling waded through the paperwork that was so much a part of every lawyer's life. This morning, it was the last of the trust documents that his late friend, Judge Thomas McKenzie, had had him draw up to safeguard the considerable fortune he had bequeathed to his beloved daughter by his first marriage. Prudence, whose mother died when her only child was 6 years old, was 2 weeks away from becoming Mrs. Charles Linwood. Before that happened, Conkling had to be certain her interests were as well protected as the judge had wanted. Not that Charles Linwood showed any trace of being the type of husband more enamored of his wife's fortune than the person of the lady herself. Far from it. The judge had been delighted when Linwood asked for Prudence's hand. Charles had gone from Harvard straight into his family's law firm, where he'd proved himself as adept at drawing up finely crafted wills and contracts as he was persuasive before a jury. Already a skilled lawyer with a bright future, Charles Linwood loved Prudence McKenzie in the honest, gentlemanly fashion every father wished for his daughter. The man could be trusted to care for his young bride and make her happy in her new life. It was a perfect match. The afternoon was turning shadowy despite the whiteness of the mesmerizing snow. Prudence lit the gas lamps on her bedside tables, listening for a few moments to hear their reassuring hiss, drinking in the comforting light. She had been awake most of the previous night, ever since the storm began to blow in earnest. Regardless of the weather, she had seldom slept through the hours of darkness since her father's death barely 3 months ago. She had been given drops to dull the immediate agony of loss, but as the weeks of mourning wore on, a furious itching began to interrupt her sleep at night. She'd wake up to the bite of her fingernails, scratching and digging at the thin, dry skin of her arms and legs. If she didn't stop herself soon enough, rings of dried blood showed reddish brown beneath her nails in the morning. She'd open her eyes, light the gas lamps, then reach for whichever book she was currently reading. She would still be awake at dawn. And always there was the aching longing for her father, the memory of standing at the gate of the family crypt, hearing the creak and clang of wrought iron shutting him in forever. Prudence unbuttoned the left sleeve of her black morning gown, pushed it above the elbow and examined the skin, bending to hold the arm under the soft yellow glow of one of the lamps. The scratches that had so recently been an angry red had faded into the faintest of tracks, as if she'd absent-mindedly run the tip of a folded ivory fan along the length of her arm. The itching was less, almost unnoticeable, tamed and soothed by the face cream she'd rubbed into the sore skin morning and evening. Something else, too. The cup of boiled milk brought up to her from the kitchen every night.